Blog Talk Radio.
This is a message from the CDC. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Take steps to protect yourself and others. Wear a mask that completely covers your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or outside of the U.S. and in U.S. transportation hubs such as airports and stations. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wash your hands often and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19travel to learn more.
Hello, welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. Winning Wednesday. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. So we will be talking about trustworthiness, which co-host Michael Stevens Jr. of Maryland and one of the moderators of the James Franco Project private group on Facebook will co-host, and he suggested the topic, so he will also be leading the conversation, I believe, when he calls in. Let's take a moment of silence because there's so much going on. So much good and bad, but we definitely should take a moment of silence in remembrance of loved ones that have passed on, those that we are praying for, our personal situations that we are dealing with, and as a whole worldwide community. Let's take a moment of silence. Michael is, I left the studio to just during this moment of silence and also to message with him. So he said he is in the studio. Yay. So it's so much going on. So it's so important for us to, I know everyone to pray, take a moment of silence, to pray within, and just take time to reflect and be in the moment and prepare for the next day or around the world the next the approaching afternoon, evening, night. He's back in the studio. His call had dropped. So thank you all so much for tuning in. We will discuss hot topics. Today, Harry Reid body laid out in the Capitol, and we have lost so many: Sidney Poitier, Betty White, Jameson Toomey, Bob Saget, and so many since the beginning of the year. Also, yay to a few of the people responsible for the death of young Dolph, allegedly being captured. And just a big shout out to law enforcement around the country. I've been looking at various stories and so many crimes. There are so many crimes that need to be solved, but there are so many crimes that have been solved or in the process of being solved. So we are talking about how trustworthy you are. This is a topic that Mr. Michael suggested, and so Michael will be leading the show. We'll be leading this topic. On Monday, we had trouble with sound. I do not believe that's the case tonight.
Hello, Bethany.
Hello, Michael.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yay! Hello,
ooh, good,
how are
good.
You? Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear
good,
me? I don't think I'm going in and out, so let's pray that everything is perfect in the entire show. How are you doing?
Yeah, hopefully I'm good. I'm good. The fact that you can hear me this time, because I swear I was calling in and I didn't hear anything. And you know, I don't know what's going on, but you know, the important thing is that we can hear each other.
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, you didn't?
Right. Mm. I did not hear anything either. I didn't hear anything, and I worked on it and worked on it, and I think it might have been the site. I think.
Yeah.
So, because I worked on it from my end. I worked on it my end. I don't know, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I was like, let me send our condolences to my Terry's. Before we go any further, let me send our condolences. I mentioned of those that we have lost. My Terry lost his uncle this morning. So sending out much love to the Keys family, those in Jackson, Mississippi, and those down in Simpson County and Panola and McGee, to his mom, his to cousin Tamika, Everett Martin, just sending out much love to the Keys family regarding the loss of Mr. Percy Keys, a businessman here in Jackson, Mississippi. Hugs and kisses.
Yeah.
Yes. So is it snow there in Maryland?
No. Well, it snowed about a week ago, but and the weird thing about it, it's going to snow on Sunday into Monday. And let me tell you something, Bethany, this snow is getting on my nerves, like the coronavirus is getting on my nerves. It's like that annoying family member that just won't go away, or you know that you have that cousin that grandma loves so much that you just wish that she would stop talking about, like really. So that's what it's
that
like.
Would
that's
be me. I'm that cousin, Michael. Michael, I'm
no,
that cousin.
No, you're not.
No, yes, I am. and so I wonder what your thoughts were regarding the beautiful snow. It's beautiful, but it is something else, huh?
Yeah, you know where I live at, I had to dig myself out because where I live at, I parked, and somebody, whoever it was, trapped me in with snow. So I had to dig myself out, and
whoa.
I mean, it all worked out. It all worked out, thankfully, because I had a great haircut a couple of days after. And I mean, this guy, he cuts hair really good, but I had to change barbers. That's another story. In April, the guy had been cutting my hair since I was 21, right? And now I'm going to be 36 in a couple of months. So he told me that somebody, during the pandemic, he did his barbershop out of his house or whatever, right? And then he tells me that one of his clients, one of his clients' girlfriend put weed in front of his garage door. And the people were blasting loud music in front of his garage and all this stuff. I said, you know what? I think it's time for me to go. Even though I've been with you since 2007, but whenever weed or drugs is involved, that is a no-no, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So I had to end
wow.
that. I had to. He doesn't know, but, you know, hopefully God hopefully he ain't.
Maryland is not a state where it's legal.
Well, you know,
if
I think
I'm correct.
It's a loophole. It's a loophole because you have stores that sell CBD. You know, that's sort of ish the same thing, and then they have a thing called Delta 8. And
we have,
you know,
CBD because even Avon, we sell CBD. Yes.
Yeah. So that's how that goes. So I mean, because like I said, when that comes to, you know, weed, dropping weed off in front of the door, that's just unprofessional, and it's dangerous, and, you know, I don't want to have
wow.
to, you know, yeah, just in case, say he's cutting my hair one day and the police raid his garage. No.
And you're guilty by association, and you just sitting there getting a cut.
Mm-hmm. So you know what? I just said, you know what? It's time for me to, part ways with this guy. And that's the one thing I can definitely say I had the chutzpah to do in 2021 is cut ways with some people, you know, even if it's for my better, it's for my mental health. And this new bar I have, let me tell you, and then I'll get to the topic about trustworthy, but this new barber that I have now, he's very handsome young man. He's about 2 years younger than me, and he looks like a model.
Okay.
And so you know how when you see somebody very attractive, you just try to get up in their face and everything. And the way I went about him being my barber, I kind of stalked him a little.
I kind of stalked him.
Oh,
my Lord.
Yeah, I kind of stalked them, and it was a slow by slow process. And one day in 2014, I said this. I said, "Hey, could you cut my hair?" And he was like, "Sure, I'll cut your hair." So he's been like, since I've been going to him, I've been having two barbers. I've been going behind the barber that I just left back, and he been cutting my hair. So now he's my permanent barber, even though he charges a lot, but it's really worth it. It's really worth it. So yeah.
Yeah, you must have been peeping out his work, or you have friends that are his clients also.
Well, yeah, because one day what I did is, I like I said, I get investigative. When I see somebody that's attractive or something, I investigate or whatever. So what I did, I called the shop
oh,
one day.
Oh, and so that's – and then
So I called the shop one day. And the guy was like, "The guy you're talking about, is his name is, I'm going to say his real name. His name is Pete." And so so I was like, okay. So I looked him up.
Let's shout his business out. Yeah,
let's shout his business out.
Shout out to Pete. What's the name of the barbershop?
Half tutorial. I got to look it up on my phone. But hold on. Let me look it up on my phone. I'm not going to disconnect.
Okay.
But hold on, let me look it up on my phone. But
okay.
He's a good barber. Hold on, let me see. Let me see. Pete. What is the name of this thing? Oh goodness, I can't find it. Hold on.
Here it is.
I got it. It's called Half Penny's Tonsural and Shave Parlor.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice, yes. Upscale.
Yeah. How do you know?
Number one, he sounds like an exclusive barber that does really good work. And then that name is an upscale name. Repeat it again. And is it in, I don't know if you want me to say your city. Is it in your city, in Maryland?
No, it's in Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So let me repeat it.
Shout Pete out.
Yeah, it's Half Penny's Tonsural and Shave Parlor in Columbia, Maryland.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Shave Parlor.
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to talk about definitely tonight is the trustworthy part. And I know we talked about it last time that we were on air. So this is like a really important topic because what'd you say? Go ahead.
Yes, because when we talked about gossiping, it's very important to be a trustworthy friend. How can you be a trustworthy friend if you're gossiping or being involved in gossiping? Right.
Yeah. So, trusting other people is important to me because there are a lot of people around me who are not trustworthy of people. And I don't want to be like that. I really don't want to be like that because, you know, if you look at, and not just to put race in it, but there are a lot of people in our community, the black community, who are just saying, oh, I don't trust people. Or when you go on Facebook and you see these little memes that says, you know, everybody that's smiling, your face ain't your friend. I'm like, oh my gosh, some people make life so depressing. And I just want to see the good in people.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, I don't want to be one of those people who are traumatized by bad experience. Yeah, because everybody's going to have bad experiences. I don't care who you are. Everybody's going to be betrayed. But the thing is, I think what we need to do is we need to learn from those experiences and grow and learn and grow from those experiences instead of holding on to it, you know. And, you know, and like I was saying, you know, that post-traumatic stress syndrome from bad relationships is real. I mean, it is real. But, you know, my psychic friend was telling me, she said that, you know, this part of the reason why most of your relationships don't last too long is because of your fear. It's like you want to push people, you want to bring them closer, but you really end up pushing them away. And she said that's a very sad thing. And she also suggested to me that I heal myself, you know. And she said you open your heart and you open your heart to loving other people. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what our topics are all about this month. And since before the beginning of the year, you noticed that we've been discussing and talking about topics that you suggest also, and that you and I even talk about on our private time. It's all about healing and being better people, and we are healing. That's what I mentioned to Terry, too. And it's amazing, too, because Terry and I talk about that also, how one can push people away, you know. But, yes, we all are healing from something. So it's important for us not to pressure one another, but let each other know we're – give people space, personal space, to heal, but then also be there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard to find that balance. And I remember that story I told you about with Phyllis Hyman.
Right.
You know, I love that. I love that interview she did back in 1987 where she said that she has been burnt in the past. Yeah. But she says she does not want to say, you know, even though she does not want to say, I don't trust people. Because if you say that, that's skepticism. That, what is that? That's being negative. And you just want to say, show me that I can trust
right.
you. You know? So that sounds a lot better, saying,
right.
show me. Yeah, so that's the approach that I
right.
want to
take. And trusting people is like playing Russian roulette, because you don't know who's gonna turn their back on you. But that person is also playing Russian roulette with us, you know, hoping that we don't betray them, you know. Also, but I'm like you. I look at the glass half full. I start off with people. Because of my morals and my values and my upbringing, I'm a trustworthy person. I'm so glad you mentioned this, brought this topic up. I consider myself to be a trustworthy person. So I look I give everybody the benefit of the doubt, not being gullible, not being naive. But, you know, let's start from a clean slate.
But then
at the same time, you build trust in certain areas. You build trust in certain areas too. But I give people a clean, like a clean slate. You know, you give me a clean slate. Let's show our trustworthiness and be honest and open. And sometimes it takes time. So some people are open up front. But I'm like you. I look at it in an optimistic way, but then it seemed like playing Russian roulette. It seems like, oh my God, I end up trusting the wrong people, or trust, or putting too much trust in people too early. You know, letting them know, okay, I do trust you. And that's in any, and all thing of work relationships, personally and professionally. But you give people the benefit of doubt, and when you do that to people, some people shouldn't think, oh, I'll just take advantage of this person. You know, because if we don't take kindness, like that old saying too, don't take a person's kindness for weakness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And you know, And, you know, also the thing about it, and I think I may have mentioned this last time that we talked before, the one thing I hate is when people confide in me without confiding in me. I really hate that. I truly hate that. I really hate it because I remember.
Elaborate
on
that.
Let me tell you a little story, and I'm going to I'm going to put some fake names in, but this really did happen to me. So it was this one one young man or one dude I was kind of attracted to at the church I used to go to, whatever. And we're going to call him Mason.
Praise the Lord.
We're going to call him Mason. So Mason came from a really religious family or whatever. And so he, 2 years earlier, he had went in the congregation and said that he struggled with homosexuality or whatever, right? So, you know, he's a very handsome young man. So I had suggested we had hung out with him. We had went playing sports together. This was this Sunday or whatever. It was like a Sunday in 2011. And I said, why don't you take some pictures of yourself shirtless or whatever, right? And he said, sure, you know, I'll do that. And, you know, he looked good shirtless or whatever. And I took some pictures of him. And so after that happened, I had went to church and I had told some people that I took shirtless photos with him. So the next morning, he sent me an angry Facebook message saying some, you know, I expect, you know, if you and I do something together, I expect you to keep it, you know, between us. I mean, this dude never told me to keep it quiet, you know. I mean, he never told me, you know. Yeah. And how am I supposed to know, you know, just say, hey, you know, let this be something between me and you instead of just. I can't assume,
right.
You know, and I suck at reading social cues. Like if you like flash me or something, and I tell somebody, you know, and you get mad or something, you know, just say, you know, hey, this is keep this between me and you. But I think a lot of people, I guess it depends on how you were raised, you know. Like if you tell me something,
right?
I was always raised to say, you know, keep this a secret, you know, or maybe I should
right.
be the action. Is this something that you want? Person, you want the whole world to know or not, you know, because you know, I've angered a lot of people that way. I have angered a lot of people, and I'm like, only if you had told me not to say nothing, I wouldn't have said nothing, you know.
Right, I agree with you. I'm on the same page with you. I'm like that also. I believe in keeping things confidential, and even to the point, and even people know I'm on social media, but I've changed the way I do social media. But some of my friends, they're very limited on social media. They might, you know, listen to podcasts and listen to us and do certain things, but they're not active like you and I are, you know, on Facebook and other social media. So friends like that, they're like, don't even mention me on social media. And I'm like, okay, but if you don't tell me, like if I take a picture, some friends will tell me, okay, Bethany, don't post it. Or, yeah, you can post it. You can post this. You know, give me the thumbs up. Give me the green light or not, because you already know my vibe. And I'm like you. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. So you were just enjoying yourself with your friend and went back and told the other church members. That was nothing wrong with that. He should have told you.
Yeah, he should have told me.
Let's keep our non-church activities dealings to ourselves, you know.
Yeah, and
he should have told you that. So
He should have told me that. But the funny thing about it now, he's married now. This is like 10 years ago. He's married and he lives in a different country. Yeah, he lives in a different country. So I'm happy for him and everything. But I think he had his own issues with his own sexuality. And, you know, it's kind of sad. Like a couple of years ago, I had a friend who.
But even if he was heterosexual, heterosexual and gay friends mix and be together. I mean, if he was just confident, it wouldn't have mattered, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but you know,
so
but
yeah,
you know
he should not have gone off on you like that.
Yeah, but you know also it was a lesson learned. It was a lesson learned. So it's just that
right.
maybe I need to, when I do things with people, I might need to just say, hey, is this something you want told publicly or privately? Because, you know, I just don't want any confusion, you know, and maybe I should do that in the future. You know?
Right.
Just trust but verify or verify. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Right. That's how Taryn our relationship. But he's pretty cool with me telling things. And he's the quiet, reserved person, but he will tell people things that I'm like, oh, that should be between us. I thought I was the blabbermouth.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
My mother was very, our mother was very reserved and private. So I'm learning how to keep certain things of my own business and, like you said, confirm with others. Is this okay
mm-hmm.
to post? Is this okay to say? But I'm like, you, that's like walking on eggshells. But it is helpful if people would tell you.
Yeah.
We all want to respect our friends and our family wishes so we can have better relationships.
Yeah. And, you know, it was this, let me tell you the reason why I sort of left that church, too, because it was this girl, we'll call her Monica.
Oh.
And Monica. I'm just making up names. So Monica had an affair with this younger boy, you know, because Monica was born like 1989,
mm-hmm.
and the boy that she had an affair was born 1993, okay? And this was 2011.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so what happened was they had fooled around, and I told that same person about who I told about the shirtless photos what happened between them, and she never told me to keep it a secret. So then the boy that Monica messed around with was threatening me, talking about some, he's going to spread rumors about me. And because it's a long story. It's a really long story. And the thing is, had she told me to not say anything, I wouldn't have said anything, you know, because it's like, you know, hey,
right.
you know, for all I know, some other people could have known that, too. So I think that's what I say, for me, it's best for people to verify to people. Do you want this to be
right.
kept secret? I think that I am a very
right.
trustworthy person, but you got to communicate, you know?
Yeah, you have to communicate, and communication is important with all relationships. Yes, my immediate family, I rarely mention my sisters and brothers and immediate family, my sisters and her kids and all, because they're private, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the one time that we went public, Sean was a guest on the show. You know, Sean is a moderator also with the James Franco Project. He was a guest on the show in May 2020 promoting one of his books. And it was when COVID had just hit, and I'm live on the air with Sean, and then we got the news that my little 7-year-old niece had COVID, asymptomatic. And when I found out, I was on the air. My sister came, my private family, with Sean, and I think Sean had COVID then. And the news broke, but, you know, they broke it themselves. They knew I was on the air, too, and I was just shocked. But that right there let people know that COVID's real. COVID's
mm-hmm.
real, you know, like, wow. Cause my mother, she was my late mother was my number one fan, and she would come on the show, and my mother was like you. She would suggest topics. So I'm loving it, you know. She was just like,
yeah.
let's talk about this. I partnered with that show. But my siblings and kids, they're private. So that's why I just talk about myself and pets and friends and other
mm-hmm.
and Cousin Linda is part of the show, who you will meet on the air soon. But you're right. You have to, you know, it's important for us to listen to what people want and don't want, and let them know also what we with tolerate and not tolerate.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to say something, but I forgot. But that's did your niece you know, did she get well again or with COVID, or did she just get
She didn't even have any. It just seemed like she had a little light cold. But we all was, that was in 2020, and we were all, that's when the health department would put you under quarantine. I guess they're still doing it. But that's when they would put you under the quarantine, the whole household. And she had it, and so everybody close to her had to quarantine. And it's something when you self-quarantine on your own, but then when you talk to the health department, and then the health department tell you what you can and cannot do, that is crazy. I'm like, oh, my God.
You know, the health department, they're like,
I never been in trouble, house arrest or arrested or anything. So I'm like, this feels like being under house arrest or something. You know, it's different
but
when
you quarantine yourself,
but the government
I said this before on your show before, Bethany, that I personally think that Governor Abbott and DeSantis needs to be in jail because they are going around, you know, ignoring mass mandates, people getting sick and stuff under their watch. And they're denying COVID. They're saying that, oh, it's, you know, part of the to get the left to win or something. I'm like, really, when are people going to stop publicizing this coronavirus?
Right.
This coronavirus don't care about your color.
Right.
It does not care about your politics.
Right.
You need to, but a lot of people don't want to wear masks.
Exactly.
You know,
we lost my aunt Christine, you know, in July of June 30th, 2020, outbreak at a nursing home. And I see those nursing homes have outbreaks everywhere. And I believe those workers, or many workers, need to stay shots updated and their mask on also.
Yeah, I got my booster a couple of weeks ago. And let me tell you, that stuff had me feeling like I had the flu. But, you know, I feel much better. But I have to say, during Thanksgiving, I did feel a little bit, I did have a cold a little bit. It was like a common cold. It didn't last too long. It was just like a couple of days. I could smell. I know that I could smell, but I still had a runny nose. So that went away. I'm so grateful for that. So, yeah.
But you haven't had COVID. Have you had, you haven't had COVID before, have you?
No, not that I'm aware of,
have
but I've been around. Let me tell you my, well, okay. Well, I can, I was kind of, I worked with someone who had it, but I kept my distance from that person. Yeah, I kept my distance from that person.
Well, I'm a hugger and a cheek-to-cheek kisser, and if I can social distance, anybody can. I honestly social distance. I social distance right here in the household, and with my little niece, I social distance with everybody. Terry mentioned those. You're right, because sometimes I wonder if Terry reminded me talking about him being unvaxxed, because we were supposed to gotten vaxxed together, and he's still unvaxxed. But yesterday morning, he mentioned that he's ready to get vaxxed for the first time. I still need to get my booster so I can be like you. I still need to get my booster so I'd be like you. He getting vaxxed probably would help our relationship too, because I'm around him, but I'm concerned too. He's from a big family. They have get-togethers and all, and so he's a reserved person anyway. He don't like people in his personal space before COVID. So it's important for us to, you know, social distance, wear our masks, sanitize if we're unvaxxed or not. And you know another secret that helps?
What?
Drink H2O. Drink, I know we like to, we love drinking our water, but drink as much water as possible. I heard at the beginning, when it first hit, that staying hydrated helps. Also, it helps prevent it. So mm-hmm. I drink mm-hmm. water as soon as I wake up. Every 30 minutes, I'm drinking water now. Mm-hmm. Stay hydrated. That really helps. It helps our immune system.
But, you know, I got to say, during the COVID crisis, it was kind of tough emotionally because I have a friend, and I'm going to say his real name. His name is Elliot Hefty. He really gives amazing
hugs.
That's
a beautiful name.
That's a beautiful name. Yeah, and he's tall and very handsome, too, very handsome. And he's a Pisces like me. Yeah, Pisces like me. But anyway, he gives amazing hugs. I mean, I met him in college and everything. And so I was kind of scared to give him a hug because I was afraid that
you're
my
right.
body.
Yeah, you're right. Some people I give a hall pass to because, you know, like our mayor, when I was working at Massage Envy, he's strict about the mask. We're the only city mm-hmm. in Mississippi with a mask mandate. But mm-hmm. we're friends, and I seen the mayor, and I'm like, I thought he wouldn't want a hug, but big hug and everything because he's real strict mm-hmm. on it. But, you know, some mm-hmm. people you give a hall pass to. And, you know, my sister's not a hugger, but I stood close to her yesterday, and I told her, I said, you're the only person I pretty much stand close to. The kids like to give me a hug every once in a while. But back to Elliot.
Yeah, so when Elliot hugs me, I feel so safe and warm when he hugs me. It's just like, oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I say to him, I say, I could stay in your arms forever. I really could. And he laughs and everything. And I don't know where he gets his hugging, you know, style from. His mom's not a hugger. His dad isn't, not that I know of. But it's just like, oh, my God, there's something so special about Elliot and his hugs. You know, I tell you. And I hope that Elliot and I can be friends for many years because I just love his hugs, you know. And, you know, I go through a thing where I kiss him on the forehead.
Hugging is how because he's so what? And he probably loves your kiss on the forehead.
Yeah, I think he does. Because, but see, I was kind of self-conscious about it because, you know, even though Elliot and I are like far in age difference, because he was born in 1998 and I was born in 1986, and, you know, I kind of felt, but, you know, I clicked uh-huh. with him and everything, but I just was worried that it made him uncomfortable, but I don't think I did. I don't think so, but, you know, that's my buddy, and, you know, I tell you, I just love his hugs, and I hope that I can have access to his hugs for many years to come, you know?
Hugs are what brought Terry and I together, and you're right, I feel so safe in his hugs, so I hope he and I work things out, because we both love each other, you know, so much about each other, and, yes, and those hugs are just magnetic. So I know exactly how you feel about Elliot's hugs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if he's single. Yeah. We might have something.
No, he's just a friend. He's just a friend. He's just a friend, you know. Yeah, right now he's changing.
Stop the press.
What'd you say? What you mean stop? What happened?
I'm listening to you, but I see breaking news of a Hollywood breakup. So so stop the press, but keep on going. But a story just popped up. I had no idea this couple was near Splitsville.
But what
were you saying about Elliot?
Yeah, Elliot is in the middle of changing his careers. Let me see. He was an engineer, and now he wants to be a school teacher. So he wants to teach math to high school students. And I'm like, Elliot, are you sure? Are you sure? Because them kids will take a lot out of you.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a big pay cut.
Yeah, and
that must
and
be a
it,
calling
it
on his life, because that's
yeah,
a big pay cut too.
Yeah, yeah, and You know, and the county that, this specific county is the best county in the state of Maryland. It is. It is. And, I mean, I just that – yeah, so I hope
math
that –
math teachers do get paid a lot.
Yeah, but I just think the thing with math teachers, they need to have math teachers who are not like your by-the-book teachers, because I tell you, that's going to make the students hate it,
right.
Hate the math, you know. You know, like I remember I had a teacher, and I'm going to say his real name, back in 2014, his name was Zach Pajak. I'm telling you, when I went to Zach's class on Tuesday mornings, he made Tuesday morning seem like a Saturday morning. Really, the vibes were so good in his class where it felt like a Saturday morning. It felt like yesterday was Friday.
Uh-huh.
It either felt like a Friday morning or a Saturday morning. This was a good teacher. You know that you have a good teacher by
That's
the
what
vibes
I'm talking about.
Yeah. So. Mm. So yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Mhm. So
wow.
Tell me about that breakup. Tell me about
that's
that
a good
breakup.
Teacher.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Tell me about that.
You might have heard about it, but I had not. You might have heard about it. Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet. Jason Momoa, Aquaman, and Lisa Bonet.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that.
Quit. I had no idea. I had no idea.
Well, you know, Jason Momoa.
I had seen a story a couple of weeks ago. I had seen a story a couple of weeks ago where he was out all night partying with friends, but, I mean, that happens with regular people, you know, so.
But see, we don't know. We don't know the dynamics.
The reporter for that story wondered.
We don't know the dynamics of their relationship. They could have been having multiple partners, you know, who knows, but,
right.
You know,
they have a very let me not talk over you. What were you saying?
No, what I was saying is that, you know, they could have an open relationship and, they,
right.
You know, yeah, we don't know the dynamics of their relationship. So yeah, I wish them luck.
Because
you
know? They have a very unconventional relationship, right? Because they were together a long time saying they were married, and then they actually did get married. But, yeah, they have a very unconventional relationship. But I love his story of being a little boy and telling his mom he was going to marry Denise one day. And it manifested.
Y'all, that's good. That's good, yeah.
And
Lisa
Bonet, and he and Lenny Kravitz tend to get along pretty well.
Yeah, Lisa
yes,
Bonet has a daughter
Lenny Kravitz.
Who looks just like her.
Right, Lenny Kravitz with Lenny Kravitz. She's in the new Batman movie that's coming.
Yeah,
yes.
She was in one. She
would
be
the Catwoman.
She was in one of my favorite movies called
What movie is that?
The Road Within. It's called The Road Within.
And it's about
this boy who has Tourette syndrome and his mom died or something. And so he eventually goes to like a rehabilitation home. And Lisa Bonet's daughter is the girl that he has a crush on. She's the bulimic. And there's another boy who is like has some type of OCD where he likes everything clean. And it's just amazing, and I think that the movie just talks about teamwork and what you can accomplish when you have teamwork. Mm-hmm. So it's a good movie. Robert Patrick is in it, Robert Sheehan, and Davey Patel, I think that's his name. That's what I think his name is. But it's a good movie. I think it's a low-budget movie, but it's a good movie.
Right. Well, I never did see the movie she and James Franco were in together a few years ago. Can you think of the name? Ken? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue because I talked about it so much. But I haven't seen it yet. I've been intending to post it in the group so we can watch it together. Is it Ken's? Maybe I should Google it. While you're talking about trustworthiness, I will look it up.
Yeah. I thought
you would know what I was talking about. It was a movie that was made like in 2016, 2017.
Hold on. Let's see her name. Let me look her up.
It was made like after, like you and I, I guess we could Google Zoe Kravitz and James Franco.
Hold on.
There we go. Ken. Oh, I had it right.
Oh,
Ken.
Yeah. I saw that movie. The robot movie. Is it the robot movie, right?
Yeah, from 2018.
Yeah.
Yes.
And James' character was very weird in the movie. He peed in front of the store owner or something like that. So James was the bad guy in this movie, I think. Yeah, he was a thug, and he didn't want the guy looking at him peeing, you know. So he played
I shared a lot of behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I think in that movie James died in that movie. Yeah, I think in that movie he died in that movie too. Yeah, he got killed.
Wow, he died a lot of movies. Homefront, yeah. Spring Breaker. Wow.
He died in Spring Breakers?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Wait a second. Gucci Mane died. Didn't he die too?
I don't know.
He shot up Gucci Mane character.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to rewatch it. Watching that movie just put me in shock. It lived up to the controversy. That movie was something.
But I know another movie that James did that caused a lot of controversy, The Sausage Party or something.
Oh, yeah. And Seth was in that, right? Seth?
Yeah, his friend who betrayed him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
So, but you know,
I thought he would stick with him.
I thought his brother. I think his brother even distanced himself from. You know, Dave Franco actually had distanced himself from James. You know, but I think he still loves his brother. But I mean, you know. But seriously, I mean, I don't know.
But
we don't
know
what's going.
I admired Dave's wife, Allison Brie. Because when she would be on the red carpet and reporters ask her about James, she would speak out. When they ask about James, she would speak out that she is standing by her brother-in-law.
Good. Good.
That's her family. Good. So,
yeah,
Allison
yeah.
Brie, Dave might not say anything about it, but I guess he allowed Allison to be vocal about it.
So let me ask you something. What does the older brother does? What does he do? We know there's an older
He's
brother.
He's an artist.
Oh.
That's Tom. Well, believe it or not, James is the oldest.
Oh, he is? Oh.
James is the oldest. Yes, he is the oldest. But you would think he was maybe the middle one. But he is the big brother. I thought Tom was the oldest too, but James is the big brother because he often he used to joke about not being the married one, and he's the oldest one, you know.
I'm looking at the page right now. Thomas is the middle.
Artist.
Yeah, it said that he's an actor. It says that he's an actor.
Okay, so Dave is the youngest. So Dave
yes,
is the
yes.
youngest, Tom is the middle, and James is the oldest.
Yeah.
But it appears, it looked like it should be switched, but James is the oldest. And Tom Tom is an artist. Sometimes James does artwork with Tom. Their mom collaborate with Tom often, and James does too. If I'm not mistaken, Tom and his wife, they run like the nonprofit side of James. Production company.
Oh, cool. Yeah, but he was.
Yeah,
but I'm looking
but
at
his
page.
He's the artist.
Yeah, his page says that he was born April 14th, 1980.
Wow, so he's an Aries too. Wow.
Yep.
James' birthday is April the 19th. I didn't realize their birthdays were so close together.
Yeah, they
the
look,
day
they
after Terry and my
right.
brother-in-law and my nephew's birthday. Yes.
Yeah, my,
yes.
Yeah.
Tom is very yeah. tall and slender. Tom
yeah.
is tall and slender. And, mm-hmm. yeah, Dave is a smaller one, I guess. But, yes,
yeah, Dave,
artwork. I'll post
Dave
more things
closer.
with his brother.
Yeah, Dave is more closer to my age than anything. But he's older than me.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would prefer James.
Is Dave older?
Yeah, he's like a year old. Well,
is Dave
not even
older?
A year. Yeah, I was born in 1986. He was born in 1985. So, yeah, he's older
than
me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, but I think that Dave has a lot of potential, you know. I think that he has a lot of potential in the roles that he play, you know, because I think that if you notice
yes.
that Channing Tatum hangs out with them, Channing Tatum is in movies with,
yes.
you know, all of them. It's like a clique. It's like a clique. So, you know,
yes.
I heard that James Franco is friends with Beyonce, you know, he's friends with Will and Jada, you know, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know when he was active on his Facebook page, he introduced me on his Facebook page. Yeah, he's friends with Will and Jada and their kids. And I know Katy Perry. I know on his page he introduced me to Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, when he was active on social media and used to do the selfies. Lady Gaga. Yeah. Mm. I mean, he is a person that look at – I mean, we are human. And
yeah.
that he look at, you know, all his friends as being his friends, regardless if you're just a normal, everyday person or we all
mm-hmm.
are human.
Yeah, but so let me ask you this about James. Now that we're talking, that we're not talking about trustworthiness, but what is the movie about? What movie of James that really caught your eye, that you really felt that he was, you know, that he was really iconic in?
His first movie, James Dean, because I guess because I'm a James Dean fan. Well, I'm a classic Hollywood fan. So, of course, you can't. How can you love classic Hollywood and not love James Dean? He was a new actor, but oh my God, he played James Dean like nobody's business. So his first film, well, not his first starring role, James Dean, but iconic because I loved Oz. And I love why him, and you're right about Homefront. Something about that character in Homefront. I just didn't see that film. But after James Dean, I'm thinking Oz. And it's probably because I grew up loving Oz, Wizard of Oz, like him. And some Wizard of Oz fans, I don't think, really loved it, but I loved that film,
mm-hmm.
Oz. And that was an iconic role to me, to play that character.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, I need to watch True Story from beginning to end. I believe if I watch True Story, I will probably put True Story in there. But James Dean, his first film, when he played James Dean, and that set the ground, the foundation for his career. He is such a diverse and versatile actor.
Yeah.
Which happens to be a good music artist and painter also. So,
he is.
You know, many of us need to pull our talents out because we're all multi-talented. So that's inspiring to you to,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, let me do this. Let me try this. Yes. That's encouraging to those of us that think we should just stick to one or two things.
Uh-huh. So So let me ask you this. So what was the name of that movie with James that I was talking about? That was an IFC movie he did with Nicole Kidman, and he was the prince.
Well, right. And you mentioned the name.
I can't think of it. I think it. Yeah. Let me hold on. Let me look at my phone. It could be The Prince of Persia. It could be. Let me see. I'm looking it up as I'm talking to you.
That's it.
Prince.
I'm looking it up too.
Of Persia. Uh-oh.
So
I don't think that's it.
He's had some amazing. He's co-starred with some amazing people. Queen of the Desert, 2016.
Queen of the Desert. That's the name of it?
Queen of the Desert.
Okay, hold on. Let me look and check and see. Let me see. Queen of the Desert.
Here's,
you said. Yep, it was came out 2015.
Yes.
Yep.
2016.
Well, here it says 2015, but okay. Let's see.
Here's the trailer. This is the trailer.
Yeah, it's a 2:23. It's 2 minutes and 23 seconds, and I see Nicole Kidman.
This is the trailer.
Yeah. I can hear it. Yeah. Ooh, Robert Pattinson is in it too. And apparently when it was in the movies, it made $2 million. It sold $2 million in the box office, and the budget was $36 million.
Oh, I see Robert Pattinson's in that film too. I was playing the trailer, but I see Robert Pattinson's in that film too.
Good. Yeah. So that's what I like about James. James can do anything he puts his mind to. What was he like as a kid? Do you think he was like a problem child as a kid, or do you think he was he a popular kid or?
We need to read his books. Now, many of the members in the group have read his books. I must admit, I haven't read his books, not even the poetry books, excerpts. And I would like when they would air the book signings live on YouTube or Facebook, I will watch those book signings. And I like to share in the group also some of the book signings. I know when he graduated from high school, and then he went to UCLA, I believe, and studied. We're talking about math, and math happens to be his favorite subject because, you know, his dad was a mathematician, a very popular mathematician. So James, I believe, he got a job with Eaton, with one of those companies there where they close to where they live in the valley. And, I'm trying to remember. Was it Eaton? So he interned at that company. So his daddy wanted him to stick with the math, being a mathematician and working for a big company. So James told his parents, this was in his, college days. He told his parents, I decided I would like to be an actor. His dad did not like that. So James worked at McDonald's. He worked at McDonald's and went to a acting school. You might want to Google it. He went to an acting school nearby, and he slept in his car. James was homeless. Oh. He slept in his car. And so when he was working at McDonald's and going to acting school, he booked Pizza Hut. When he booked Pizza Hut, then that's when he, I didn't even realize he was part of the little clique and Never Been Kissed. So then he got the audition for Never Been Kissed, And then I guess Freaks and Geeks. But he was homeless working at McDonald's. Because his dad who passed away right after, I think right time that the Oz premiered is when his dad had that heart attack, you know, and died unexpectedly. That's how that went then. His dad disagreed with that. But I believe they had a pretty good, all three of them had a pretty good upbringing. But I believe he was kind of a wild child, you know, coming up. I know the whole family loved cats. I know they're cat lovers. You probably have noticed that in pictures.
I don't like cat. I'm not a cat fan because it makes me think of I know this is switching subjects, but it makes me think of around my grandma's way. We had a neighbor who used to attract a lot of cats and dogs, and he stayed in the house for forever and a day. I think the man had fleas looking back. But it's just that all these cats used to be around the house, and it's just, the guy was weird, but, you know, it makes me think of that. And then the cat will come over to my grandma's next door neighbor's house, and it's just like, man, these cats got to go.
We are pet lovers, but the cats, a couple cats that we have are MIA. So some neighbors probably thought like you. Even my sister who loves cats, sometimes she's like, wait a second, these cats can get overpopulated.
And the thing about cats, they're not sociable
I have a cat named Sylvester. Right.
Oh.
I lost my dog BJ, who you used to see pictures of last December. And I have a cat named Sylvester. He's very sweet and he reminds me of BJ. But you're right, it's something about dogs too. Cats, they won't, like, when you want to spend time with them, they're on their own thing. But when you're like, if Sylvester was in here now, he's outdoors now, it's warm tonight, he would want to jump on the laptop, jump on my lap, and get all the attention. Woo! Wait a second.
What happened?
I accidentally turned on a trailer. But cats, they're not sociable, but they're sociable. They're sociable when they want to be sociable.
Yeah. So, you know, one of my friends who I'm not friends with anymore, he had a few cats and everything, and the cat used to rub up against me and everything, and I don't know why. And
that's them getting friendly with you. When they do that's their way of getting friendly with you, telling you that they like you. So his cat liked you.
Yeah. I stopped talking.
But
to
you
him.
Didn't like. Look, you didn't like that.
Well, I didn't have a problem with it because I think in some ways I'm allergic to cats because sometimes when I'm around cats, I get all sneezy and my nose gets running. Yeah, but around this cat, I didn't get that. So I just have to be very cautious with cats.
I have friends that are allergic to cats. Yes, a former neighbor and a former boss friend, mentor of mine in Oklahoma. I know his little girl wanted a cat once, and my neighbors, when I was living in Texas, had some beautiful kittens. And he was like, if she get the cat, it's going to her mother's house because I'm allergic to cats. And I had a neighbor that and allergies are no joke because some allergies can put you in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I know some cat lovers that are allergic to cats and they can't have them.
Yeah. Terry doesn't
like cats either, but I think Sylvester is growing on them.
I remember I was at an event in D.C. I was at an event in D.C. and I was in a little trailer with cats and everything, and I started sneezing, and they were like, you should probably go outside. I was like, no, I just want to see the cats and everything. So they were just like, stay outside because you're sneezing and stuff. And this was like 2018, so this is before pandemic.
Yeah.
So,
that was not long ago.
No, it was not. It was not. And it just seems like a lifetime ago. Yeah. But it's hard to believe
that
we walked away.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
And we walk around. Right. I look at pictures pre-COVID, and I look at pictures pre-COVID, and it's weird to see no mask around. Like, wow, those were the good old days. Those were good old days.
I hope that it comes back, but I think that we just have to get people to get vaccinated. We have to get people to get vaccinated. There are some people who, like Candace Owens, who don't want to get vaccinated. And, then you wonder why all these other, variants are coming about because people refuse to get vaccinated. I wonder how OTAP is doing. I'm surprised he hasn't called.
I'm shocked, too. Let me look in the, because we were researching, and, okay, I don't see your call. Hello?
I'm here. Hello?
Oh, okay, because I don't see your, hello?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, there you go. I didn't see your number in the studio, but I checked the studio to see if he calls, because he loves to call. He loves to call at the end of the show. So, nope, no call from him yet.
Yeah, he's from Harlem, right?
So maybe we Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
But he might be from Harlem. But I think he and his family live in Manhattan.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I went to Manhattan once, and I didn't really like it. I was like 14 when I went, and that was the worst trip I ever went on, because I was the only teenager there. I was around a bunch of adults, and I was the only teenager, and it would have been nice had I had a friend or something my age with me there, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm like, Manhattan, I can't wait. Oh, my goodness, yes. When I come to D.C. this year, wow, next year is already this year, 2022, I pray the COVID gets, when March, springtime arrives, COVID will leave also. I've been observing COVID, and like many of you. And if you notice, it seems to decrease in the warmer months. I heard that when it first hit us. But 2 years have passed by, and I noticed that when the warmer weather comes, just like the flu and the cold, it seems to decrease. So if more of us get vaccinated, like you stated, and practice social distancing, sanitizing, we should be able to control it, to manage it, hopefully beat it, but at least manage it where we have a decrease in deaths and people being hospitalized.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, hopefully. But, you know, there's always going to be some people on the right, you know, that's saying, you know, and not, no offense to you, because I know that you do have some belief. Yeah.
Right. And if you are wondering if I think like Candace, oh, no. But I know many, many on the left that think like Candace. You know, so you're right.
Yeah.
So when you mentioned this disease, do we call it a disease? This virus, when it hit, it does not care your race, your gender, your political party, if you vote or don't vote. your criminal record, clean record or not. This is serious business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's how that goes.
But you're right. On Twitter the other day, the national GOP tweeted, "Do you think kids should be in the classroom?" Retweet this. I like to retweet, and I socialize on Twitter. And I tweeted to the national GOP that I am not retweeting because those kids should not be in classes, in my opinion. The next month, kids should not be in school. We should have the school systems open, and people should have the choice to go to school or not go to school, study remotely or not. Teachers should be able to teach remotely or not. They will not be going to school for the next month.
Wow. Yeah, it's a crazy world.
Really? right. They wouldn't they can, for activities, certain events, yes. But then I seen a report this morning in Los Angeles where in the six digits, teachers and kids are sick with COVID.
Mm.
And the surge is not slowing down.
Yeah.
So if people would just take a break, still study, still do remote learning, keep the food system, definitely keep the food systems open, the cafeterias and food delivery to the kids and to those adults that need food, because I know I need food. Keep that open. The mayor of Chicago, who was debating with Chicago teachers, day after the kids are told they can go back to school, now she has COVID. You know, so like you say, it doesn't care who it hit. I mean, I'm self-isolating and social distancing, but it's an airborne disease. So I know people that wear the clothing gear, the gloves, the mask. I have friends personally who look like astronauts and still get it. Vaccinated and all.
Yep.
But we need to just stay prayed up and keep our immune systems built up. We have to keep our immune systems built up and drink a lot of water.
And
try to stay at the hospital for any non-COVID health issues. Because you see where so many people are being turned away or they don't have beds for people. Now hospitals are trying to create systems where people that don't have COVID, but you said we might go in there with a flu and need some attention or need to spend a couple nights in the hospital. No beds or something really serious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this definitely must get better, because I've seen a story where this man had sepsis and he and his family waited for 15 days for a bed for him. They even tried to get him into hospitals near and far. And if they could have treated him, he could have gotten better. If they could have treated him properly, he would have gotten better. So people are being turned away. People are dying. They don't even have COVID because they can't even get a bed or can't get a room. So it's important for you and I and others also to do our best to stay healthy and stay out the hospital. Because you know, it's not looking good for people that don't even have COVID.
Yeah. How long is this broadcast going, Bethany?
It was special for you. So do you want to make any talk? I'm sure you would. Any closing words on? Oh, well, it's over now. You just asked. But I want to know what your closing thoughts regarding trustworthiness.
Well, I just think, you know, okay, what I usually do to see if people are trustworthy, I usually look at how they interact with other people. How do they say, how do they talk to other people? I think
right.
that can tell you how or if a person is trustworthy.
Right.
Yeah, so.
I'm like that too. I know, I say I'm like that with you on a lot of things, but I am like that.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. So is the show over or are we just, or is it, you know, because sometimes
as
I never know if I'm.
As soon as you ask me how long will the show run, and then I began to ask you what your closing thoughts were. It ended. So we're talking, but we're not live on air.
But see,
I'm looking at it. It says, thank you. The episode has ended, and they're processing the audio now so we can replay it. So next broadcast and future broadcast, we will be more structured,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll be more structured on what we talk about. On the main topic, we'll be more structured. So when we talk about your next topic of envy and jealousy, we'll talk about, like, the hot topics, breaking news stories, and or go ahead and talk about the lead topic, like envy and jealousy, then talk more about the hot topics and other stories and go mm-hmm. back to it, whatever you prefer, mm-hmm. because sometimes we go off track. But so mm-hmm. does Live with Kelly and Ryan. You
or
know,
the
so
view.
That's
the
good.
View.
Right,
yeah.
And The View. So that's what we love about those shows. When shows are too structured, then you're like, okay. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, let me tell you something. I had a dream last night about a big wave, a big blue wave. I've seen a big blue wave. I was like, wonder what that dream meant. It was
a big blue wave?
Yeah, like a tidal wave.
Wow, that sounds beautiful. Let's Google what that means. Let's Google that.
It sounds like it's
something good.
Yeah.
Interpretation.
But let's, see, the thing about that, I don't like interpretation.
Sounds like something good.
It does, because it looks like it's, because you get so many different meanings, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Big blue wave dream. Oh my God! It was completely blue, or it had a little white in it.
I just saw blue.
What does it mean? It was one wave or big waves?
A big wave.
Dream. Oh, it says that it is a meaning of celebration of life. The first thing that pops up, you are filled with enthusiasm, excitement of ideas. I know for a fact that is true.
mm-hmm. I meant to tell you, Bethany.
Dream about big blue waves.
Mm.
Okay.
You know, I meant to tell you, Bethany, I saw Josh on Friday.
You told me.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to mention, you mentioned a lot of people, but you didn't mention, I was going to mention to you in a few minutes, you mentioned a lot of people, but you didn't mention Josh.
Yeah, I saw
and
him.
And see, you
on
did tell me that's private. You did tell me that's private, so I know not mm-hmm. to mention Josh unless you mention Josh.
Yeah, I saw him. He's trying to become famous or something like that. But he's a good performer. So, yeah, I wish
him.
Okay,
I know he's a model. Is he an actor too?
Yes, he is.
I know he's a model. He's an actor too.
Yes, he's an actor. Yes, He was in this movie in 2020. A couple of years ago, he was in a movie where he was dressed as I can't think of what you call them people, a monk or something.
Oh, you mentioned communication. Waving this dream points to your limitations and restrictions. It says that you have reached the zenith of your profession, but it says you are holding back your feelings or words. You mentioned that at the beginning of the program about communication.
Yeah.
It says this dream is about temptation and guilt, and you don't know how to relate. And it says you don't know how to relate to a person. That sounds like you and Josh. Then there's an interpretation of dreaming of a big and blue wave. Big and blue is a symbol of celebration of life. You're filled with enthusiasm, excitement, or ideas. You've done something that you are not proud of or that is festering inside of you. Your dream means energy, intuition, and wisdom. You are looking for some cosmic relief. That's what that dream means. Dream about big waves suggests this restrictions. You're taking charge of your life. That's all you talk about. And I'm taking back my power, my personal power. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there is something you need to see. This dream is a symbol for love, desire, fertility, beauty, femininity. There's an imbalance in your life.
Mm.
It hints the positive characteristics and your fiery passion. You need to thank somebody. Who you need to thank? Do you need to thank Josh? You need to take a chance on a relationship. It goes to say you need to take a chance on a relationship and make that an emotional plunge. Your dream represents your outlook in life. You're ready to move forward in some project or endeavor. It also points to your accommodating nature. You are experiencing a spectrum of emotions. You have friends and family who help you to achieve your highest goals. Your dream states your missed opportunities for growth and pleasure. You may be experiencing a higher level of consciousness, newfound freedom, and greater awareness. Sometimes also it's about issues of power and control, feelings of dependence, independence, especially in a relationship. You're experiencing some sort of emotional void. You are not accepting responsibilities for your own actions. This dream symbolizes you are in, I don't sound like you're in a dead-end job. You are too unyielding and inflexible. Wow, most of that interpretation, just from my dealing with you and being your friend, sounds like you, you know.
But then
most of
it
does. So some of it's inaccurate.
It could have been something I ate too, you know, because when you eat weird, when you eat, you have weird dreams. So.
Right. Because I dreamt. That Terry dumped me, which, you know, we're on a crazy area of our relationship. As much as he loves me and I'm his wife, I dreamt he dumped me. And then Deion Sanders, who was our coach at Jackson State, became my boyfriend. And he's in a long-time relationship with Tracy Edmonds, who I love. And I'm like, that's a crazy dream. Terry dumps me. I'm brokenhearted and sad. But then when he sees me again, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, is my new boyfriend. Like, that's a crazy dream right there.
I also, too, I've been a little bit more communicating a little bit more. It was this lady that who texts me so much, these chain messages. And it kind of got on my nerves. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know what? I appreciate you texting me, but I just feel like your texts are a little bit in excess. And she was like, oh, my fault. And then she stopped texting me so much. So,
well,
you know, sometimes.
Who is she?
She's part of
who
this Buddhist
lady?
Group I am. She's as part of this Buddhist group I'm in. And she's just really excited. And, you know, being what do you call it, a service, not my strong point, but the texts were getting on my nerves. So I just said, you know, can you just chill out with the text, you know, instead of saying, can you please stop texting me so much, you know? It's, you got to be fancy about it. But, you know, and sometimes when you tell the truth, sometimes you might offend people, but, you know, so. Yeah.
Terry can get like that. He can text, and call, then get quiet. And if I text him like he texts me, then he's like that. Chill. I'm like, well, you text me and call me. It's all cool.
Look, Bethany, I'm getting really tired right now. I can barely keep my eyes open. But thank you so much for allowing me to moderate with you and everything. And we will continue this conversation.
You.
A lot more, and you be blessed and keep praying for me in all those situations that are on my mind.
And keep praying for me also, and thank you so much for your great topics. When do you want to talk about envy and jealousy? Because the next show will be Friday. I'm going to go ahead and schedule it.
Yeah, probably sometime next week. But also, if you see any visions from the Holy Spirit about me, let me know or something, you know? You there, Bethany?
I see your mom is proud of you. I see your mother is very proud of you.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, and your mother loves you so much. She loves you so much. She's so proud of you. You're doing something right. Have she been telling you that?
No, not really.
Are you serious?
Really, no, I'm just really tired. That's what I...
I see that. Your mom is real proud of you, and you're doing something right, and she's looking forward to seeing what 2022 is what's gonna happen this year.
Oh, okay. So what do you
see?
So
only you know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. You know what the Holy Spirit is saying, because I honestly don't know what the Holy Spirit is talking about. I don't know what projects you're working on. But your mom is proud of you, whatever you're working on.
And so what do you think about the little situation with we'll talk about that over Messenger, but I'm tired right now. So you take care.
I know, me too, and I'm thirsty. And I haven't been out. I've been in here working all day, Avon and podcasts and cleaning. Terry's, one of his uncles had passed, and I haven't talked to him at all. He's one of those people that get into himself when something sad happens. Yeah. Okay.
Well, look, you have a good night here.
You too.
All right,
love you.
God
thank
bless.
You.
God bless.
Okay,
bye.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.